Hi there. Thank you for joining us for today's call, Post Go Live, how to get the full benefits of your new ERP system. Sean Windle is our speaker for today. Sean is the founder and managing principal of ERP Advisors Group based in Denver, Colorado. ERP Advisors Group is one of the country's top independent enterprise software advisory firms. ERP Advisors Group advises mid to large size businesses on selecting and implementing business applications from enterprise resource planning, customer relationship management, human capital management, business intelligence, and other enterprise applications, which equate to millions of dollars in software deals each year across many industries. On today's call, Sean will discuss how you can get the full benefits of your new ERP system post-go-live. Sean, if you're ready, I'll pass it on to you.
All right. Thanks, Juliet. Thanks, everybody, for joining, too. If you can mute your lines as well, that would be great. So this is a great topic. When we kind of look at post go live, it's kind of an interesting discussion, right? Because a lot of what we do as an organization is help companies get to kind of going through what they need and want and selections, and then actually doing the implementation. But in actuality, what the entire purpose of all of this work is that you have software that actually runs and does what you need it to do. So this will be fun to kind of talk through, and I'll maybe talk for like, you know, maybe 10, 15 minutes and give you some of the key pointers for things that we're living through literally as we speak, and some things of what to do and some things of what not to do. So to start off with, let's start with the beginning in mind that there's a big effort to identify what you need for ERP up front. And some of our clients, that can be pretty quick. Other clients take a while. And you really kind of get everybody's broad agreement on what we're going to do. We worked with a services firm recently. We've actually have two services companies that we're working with, where one of them is very much in need of what turned out to be a time and expense and billing and accounting system, whereas the other one, it turns out, really just needed accounting. So, you know, finding out what you kind of need up front is important, as well as then getting the agreement from the key stakeholders that we agree this is what we need. That's huge. Like, that's almost like everything. Well, it's actually not. Because then you have to go select the best fit application. So we got what we need. We go to the market. We look at the vendors and the apps that are out there. We try to determine which one is the best fit with as much certainty as possible. And that alone is a pretty big exercise, but it can be done, and it's being done all over the world as we speak, at least on our projects, hopefully. Then once the client has said this is what we want, we'll negotiate the deal, we'll get things closed and get all the signatures and that and figure out the implementation resources, then we implement. And the implementation for enterprise software is kind of like the swallowing the elephant phase. It's hard, and it's a lot, and there's a lot of things to consider, and of course other calls and white papers and blog entries and videos and all that we have. You can learn tons and tons of best practices and good nuggets to apply there. But now we're going to take it one step further and say, well, what happens after the implementation? So that's what kind of post-go-live means. The first thing that needs to happen is this. Take a break. is really, really important, because usually the team that's been doing the implementation is running very hard with their day job as well as with the implementation. Now, some of our clients that are bigger can afford to have people that are dedicated to a project. Other clients that are smaller can't. So either way you look at it, the intensity of the implementation is really, really high. So the first thing you have to do after the kind of you go live or post the go live, after the software is running and people are able to use it, is take a break. But then what do you do? And this is kind of what the crux of, I think, I'm going to kind of talk through with this discussion. You really have to kind of, again, after you've had a breather from ERP fatigue, it's called, is you have to look at how your end users are doing. So you put the software in place so that people could run their jobs better. If you did it for any other reason, let me think about that. I think that's really true. If you did ERP for any other reason than to kind of alleviate the impact of kind of the business processes upon your people, it's probably not the right reason. Everything that we do goes back to that. So you really want to take a look at, like, how are people really, really doing with the software? So it's really the most important part of software is the people that are really using the software. Sometimes we have clients that are automating a ton of processes. And, you know, especially for like a real heavy billing company, a company that's doing a ton of billing, they can automate a lot of stuff, which is fantastic. But then you've got users and people that are still looking and doing exceptions and on bills that aren't making sense or whatever. So just make sure, find out what those people are up to. How are they doing for real? And make sure that they're still on board with the software and that. And the key thing to do with these people is you need to find out what else is needed and wanted now that they're actually using the software. And you will find that you are talking to like a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. I always forget which one's the bad one. I think Mr. Hyde is. Before the implementation, you're usually talking to Mr. Hyde. I don't want to change. This is terrible. This is the worst thing ever. And I don't want this. Or some people are like, yeah, I think it's going to be okay, but I'm not really sure. Some people are like, yeah, this is going to be great. Usually it's not that uptone. It's usually a little downtone. So, but then after the go live, after they've been using the system for a bit, after they've been able to see the value, you're usually talking back to Dr. Jekyll, who's the nice person, who can kind of tell you like, look, this is great. My life is better and I appreciate it, but there are a couple things that are still broken and I need you to fix them. Great. Let's do that. So the first thing you do is clean up what is still broken from the first phase. We call this sweeping the glass sometimes, or just simply, again, kind of change management around the actual code itself and what's broken, what needs to be fixed. And they're not going to be significant things. We have one client right now where we met with their group, and they basically came back with, the app is too complex, simplify it for us, so build in a bunch of controls. Okay, so we did that. Then take a look at what the requirements were that you had for phase one that didn't make it in the phase one go live. So, you know, typically we'll kind of set out a scope that's, you know, sometimes pretty aggressive. And then as you get into it, it's like, oh my gosh, we can't deliver all this. So let's put all those other things that maybe are less important over here to the side and not worry about those until after go live. So after go live, you got to worry about those things. So pick those things back up. And make sure that they're still needed and wanted, and identify those. Then you want to look for opportunities to further automate processes that weren't automated in phase one. So let's say for a financials implementation, we're focusing on kind of core GL, AP, AR, basic stuff. We get that up and running. Everybody's using the software. We give them a break. We found out what was broken in AP with the three-way match process. We get that fixed. Maybe we add a couple more kind of nice little enhancements to make it work a little bit better. Now here we may say, okay, how do we automate the billing side on AR? Now that AR is up and running and everything else, how can we really put in, you know, this next process that's value add that will be able to help us to do things better? And see, that's important because the right way to look at the ERP implementation is, and it's an overused analogy in management consulting, but it's really true, is a pyramid, that you have three levels that you're really working on with an ERP. The first level is kind of the core business processes. We want to focus on getting those set. Normally that happens in phase one. The next level is really on automating more complex processes that are higher value add. That usually happens in phase two. And I would say things like billing, maybe advanced workflow approvals on purchase orders, maybe even really complex intercompany kind of work with multiple entities, like really getting into the intercompany consolidation kind of work at the next level. That's what that middle level of the pyramid is. And then the top level is what it's really all about. And the top level, the top pyramid, or the top of this third level is actually kind of small because it's not a lot of money and it's not a lot of time to do it, but that's because you did the base and you did the middle. But the top level is around reporting, analytics, KPI, and really interesting process automation. So that is really the crux and the core of what my goal as the guy who's been doing this for 25 years with clients is to get all my clients to that point. Some of them never get there, honestly. There's so much benefit with the bottom layer and the middle layer that maybe we don't even get to that top part. But I'll tell you, if you really ask the people that are willing to stick their necks out on the line to get these software solutions, what they really want, they always want what's in the top pyramid. They'll always say things like you have, say, a CFO or a controller, or somebody who's implementing a financials app will say, you know, I really want to see what my real KPIs are around days sales outstanding. And, you know, I really want to understand how our billings are impacting our cash flow and collections. And what if we really did move to a lockbox versus receiving our payments? But what would that really do to cash? You may even see on the operations side with like a wholesale distributor who's looking for their inventory turns. They can do those calculations today, but why are the inventory turns what they are? What does happen when we switch from one vendor to another vendor? You know, who are not just our top 10 vendors or who are not just our top 10 customers, but who are our most profitable customers? Who are the vendors that are actually on an overall kind of balanced scorecard, our worst vendors? You know, there's all these questions that executives really have about how their business operates. They don't get answered in the bottom part of the triangle, nor the middle part. They're always in the upper part. So again, after your go live, after you've kind of cleaned things up, after you've gotten the requirements that we wanted in phase one, let's get those in phase two. After you looked at other process automations and now you're dealing with these really super high value add reporting analytics KPIs and, you know, robotic process automation and AI and all that really wonky stuff that goes into the top part, that really sets what we call roadmap. And a lot of other people do. I don't like it when people say, that's what I call like a roadmap. Like, well, who doesn't call it that? But it really, we call it a roadmap that kind of says, here's what we're going to do, when we're going to get it done. And the most important part is who's going to do it. So you have to have kind of a definition of priority amongst all these items, as well as an understanding of the resources that are required to kind of get this done. And you're going to really have to kind of put a team in place that can kind of maintain and keep this roadmap going for a while. Now, if you're just doing a simple financials app, that doesn't need to be like a big effort there, right? You might just kind of keep your eye out for the next EICPA regulation that hits you, like ASC 606, even though that keeps getting pushed and pushed and pushed. That's kind of what the EICPA does. Frankly, and the Financial Accounting Standards Boards, these guys they will put out a pronouncement, especially FASB, as kind of a warning to everybody, like, this is going to happen in 2 years. Oh my gosh, what do we do about it? Well, we hire an advisor and they charge us $400 an hour and they tell us a bunch of stuff we already knew. Well, you could do that. Or you can just get everything in order for what you really need and then know that those FASB regulations are going to get pushed out maybe a couple years, like we've seen with several different things of recent, even the new lease accounting policies. I am a CPA, but I need to be very careful because I don't watch those announcements very closely. But you know, it's sort of like the regulatory agencies are saying, look, things are going to change. You need to get ready. And we know you're not really going to do it until you have to. So we're going to put a really aggressive date out there to make you do it. And then we're going to see what our members and people are doing. Anyway, we could do a whole new topic on that, but I don't think anybody would be interested in it. but you've got to have people in place at post-go-live that are actually thinking with, we got this great asset, you know, like, let's say it's like a truck. Like, we work with mining companies and they'll spend, you know, $5 million on a truck. If they don't have people to maintain that truck and they don't get spare parts for that truck, the truck's going to die. And it's funny, they don't even need drivers anymore. It is wild. Some of the things that Caterpillar's doing with these driverless trucks are unbelievable. But still, somebody has to watch this asset and make sure that they're investing in it appropriately and that they're getting the return for it and they're continuously improving it. And that's what we're saying when we say put a team in place, is you need a person or multiple people to make sure that your software is kind of moving forward. And there's different levels of people, from a technical person, developers, architects, functional people, and that. But the key point is that you have a steward of the application that's helping you move forward, and especially going towards kind of that top of the triangle, because that's ultimately what, you know, the whole thing is about in terms of value add. So, from a summary here, as we said, doing the needs analysis, the selection, and the implementation, you know, we could write a whole book on that, and we're trying to put that together. That's another effort that's on the side for us. But we have many, many, many blogs and white papers and everything else that can cover some of the key nuggets there for sure. There's a lot of work to do there. But the post-go live is really what the whole thing's about. That's why you go through all this effort and spend all this money, is that now you have this app and now you can really leverage this. And you can think about those three levels of the triangle, from the base process automation to more of the medium level complexity stuff to the super complex stuff. But know that that top level is what it's really about. And then do have a steward, kind of a sponsor, subject matter expert, stakeholder, whatever, words you want to use, but somebody who's going to take this thing going forward to make sure that you get the value out of your software that you need. So as always, if we can help with anything, let us know. But actually, this is one area that, all you need to do is call me and we can have like a 3-minute conversation and be like, oh, wow, I never thought about doing that. Frankly, it's not a really high revenue area for us, these optimizations. But we love. I could say that for another 10 minutes to help clients in this area, because you've invested so much in us, even on the selection process and even in the implementation, that, we can just do a tiny thing and you can get a ton more benefit on Postgo Live kind of optimization stuff. So that's it. Juliet, I'll pass it back to you.
Okay. Thanks, Sean. Okay. Appreciate that. Thank you again, everyone, for joining us for today's call. As Sean said, please let us know if you have any questions. We're happy to help in any way we can. Our next call is scheduled for Wednesday, January 15th. Don't let data migration become your ERP roadblock. In this next edition of the ERP Advisor, we will discuss 5 data migration gotchas and how to handle them so you might tame the data migration beast yourself. Please go to our website, erpadvisorsgroup.com, for more details and to register. Thanks again.
Thank you.